When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Book Talk for Book Talk, a literary podcast where we have been deep diving into your favorite novels.
This is Jack.
And I'm Amy.
And our listeners love to share their thoughts and theories via email and voicemail, so we're sharing some of them via our weekly mini episodes.
The views expressed by the hosts and listeners are entirely their own and in no way represent the thoughts or intentions of the original author. This podcast is a discussion, shared to spark thought and conversation on the characters and themes of this novel.
Spoilers may be discussed with or without warning. Explicit language, as well as themes of sex, violence, abuse, death, and depression, will recur throughout this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. This episode is going to be an entire SJM multiverse spoiler warning, and you've been warned.
Yeah, listen at your own peril.
Welcome to this week's episode. We are so excited to have Lily, aka a happy hermit, and Rosie, aka a Court of Thorns and Roses, or as I remember her, My Chemical Rosie. Just, I love the puns. You do a stellar job.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. We are so excited to have you here. You are highly requested on the podcast. And this episode is coming out the week before we start season 5, where we deep dive into Crescent City, House of Earth and Blood.
And this is out 2 weeks before HOSAB.
3 weeks.
3 weeks before for HOSAB 3 or 2 weeks before?
It's coming out 3 weeks before Flame and Shadow.
Damn.
So
we were so close.
Next week?
This comes out on Tuesday.
This comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because I have it all calendarized. Like, I'm basically like by hours. Yeah. I know how soon this book is coming out.
Oh damn.
I know. I still need to request my vacation time so I can like power audiobook listen to it.
Is everyone, do you guys have your book? Are you going to go into Barnes & Noble or wherever to buy the physical book? Or are you audio? Because audiobook, you'll know you'll start immediately.
I'm insane. So like just preference that, know this. So while I did pre-order a Barnes & Noble's exclusive edition, I pre-ordered all of the exclusive editions because of the bonus chapters.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually am going to go to the midnight release party my local Barnes & Noble's is doing.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I'll have two copies of the same book, which...
Is there one in LA? We should go.
We should look this up.
For anybody listening, you can go to the Barnes & Noble's website, look at the events, and like you can search through your area code and it'll show you what events are happening at your local Barnes & Noble's.
Love it.
And then make sure you call or go in and reserve a copy because when I went to the last one, people hadn't reserved copies and went anyways. And they were like, we might not have a book for you. Mm. And they're like, oh, why?
Yeah. Good so, to know.
Rosie, how are you doing your book capture?
I'm also insane. So I'm not going to get midnight release parties or anything like that over here. Because I'm in New Zealand, I'm part of the Amazon AU Kindle store, which means House of Flame and Shadow is going to come out on Kindle at 2 a.m. my time on the 30th. So I'm going to stay up that night, wait for 2 a.m. and start it on Kindle. And then in the morning, go down. I have a bookshop around the corner from me, which will have it on release day, just because I want to hold it and finish reading it in the physical. But also, we have so many weird editions, and they're just the normal paperback. editions. But like if you order from one shop, you get a poster. And then if you order from another shop in Australia, you get a like a tote bag.
So, that's fun.
I have so many weird, like swaggy things coming. And I'm going to have like 900 copies of this book.
Amazing. Nice. Kindle, that's such a smart, like that just answered all my questions. If we don't do a Barnes and Noble release.
Yeah. So before we get any further, Lily and Rosie, can you introduce yourselves to our listeners if in case they don't know you and describe your place in the SJM universe?
I like to describe you guys as theorists, SJM theorists or conspiracy theorists.
I was just going to say, I think I have conspiracy theorist in my TikTok bio. So I think that kind of does sum it up. Honestly, I've never really thought about my place in the fandom at all, rather than just being someone who like hyperfixates on the books and the connections, has no one to talk to about it in real life. So started making videos, and I like to think we have like a really cute corner of the internet where we just talk about the good parts of the SJM universe. Like we just talk about good things. We don't fight about ships or call it lazy writing. We are just excited about the, you know, potential connections and what's going to come next and having like each other to talk about things with.
Yeah. Love it.
That's such a great description. It's true. We're a happy space. How about a stressed out space?
The safest space.
Most anxious space. But what about you, Lily? How would you describe yourself in the SJM TikTok verse?
I have been lovingly coined the professor, which I have adapted into my own personality. I say the unofficial professor because I have not been like knighted by SJM or Bloomsbury. I'm pretty sure I'm actually blacklisted by them. Like my name is like on a wall and like circled, like do not trust, like do not engage, like, which I'm fine with. I actually prefer that over anything else. Yeah, I guess I try to focus a lot on the deepest like canon connections in the SJM universe, like going into her world building, which I think is where she's the strongest personally. Well, her foreshadowing and her world building. So I think that the tiny little chunk of the internet that I have carved out for myself is just. Yeah, I guess what Rosie said, like just this safe, like fun space to keep the enthusiasm and momentum going these two years.
And I really think that so you long. Two have contributed to that enthusiasm for the last 2 years. I think if your channels weren't around, I think that enthusiasm, I think we would have seen it die a little bit.
Absolutely. SJM should have a photo of both of you on her wall with hearts around it.
She owes you like, royalties or something.
She really does.
I would like to say, like, everything, like, talking about SJM has brought me to Lily and our other friend, Jennifer. And I'm like, that's all the payment I'll need ever. It's like, I have
that's adorable.
That I can, like, talk to all the time about everything.
Maybe I was going to say, do you think SJM knows about you guys? Or even
I do know that one of Sarah's friends follows both Rosie and I.
Oh,
what? Can you check later to see if they follow us too?
I can. I won't.
Don't reveal.
This is like
we're not here to dox. We're not here to dox anyone. Yeah, but I'm just curious.
But when I found out that they followed me, I put my phone like in my freezer, like shut my freezer and like walked away for a little while because I like had a mini, like, I know I'm insane and like that's fine and well. Sarah knowing I'm insane
is another level.
That's a whole other thing. But I've kind of come to peace with that because I've listened to like all of her backlogged like interviews that she's done and she was like super into Lord of the Rings and like was like like what we are to her is what she is to like Tolkien. So I was like, okay, she gets it.
She gets it.
I think I'm a little okay.
There was a an interview she did a little while ago where
in September weren't you in that?
Yeah.
Or it was so the year before.
I think it was the year before.
Yeah,
it was the year before.
Oh, okay. A little video. And I didn't think it was gonna make it, but she picked one. And I
that's cool.
Almost like I was watching it with Lily and I almost slammed my laptop shut. I was like sweating all over, like, oh my God. Like, she knows.
Yeah.
It was our Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I'm sure. I think you asked a question about Elaine. Is that right?
No, I asked a question about time travel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, right. Because.
And she didn't answer it.
No, but so Rosie got a question in, and then our other friend Jennifer got a question in. And to both of those answers, I distinctly remember she said that she loved careful reading and, oh, good careful reading. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. That's been my, like, I've had that, like, tattooed on the inside of my brain mm-hmm. of her yeah. being like, oh, I love careful reading. I'm like, good.
Good. That's what we're doing. Yeah. You know what your channels have shown me is just how smart and how big Sarah's brain is.
Yes.
Like, to contain all that, and how does she keep it? Like, as a writer, I'm like, how do you keep this all organized and keep track of it and make sure there aren't errors?
She says her editor has, like, a Bible, like a SPM Bible. Mm-hmm. Print that one.
Yeah.
And she also has, like, extensive notebooks and a whiteboard. So,
hey, whiteboard.
I know.
Maybe she even has a spatula.
Yeah.
I know. I should send her one.
There was a hot minute that she lived in LA for a little bit, and we were just like,
we got to find out.
Yeah. We're like, okay, we don't want to stalk, but we do want to run into her.
Like, minor stalking. Minor stalking.
I want to be at Whole Foods and casually be like, oh, you? SJM? Hi.
When she did that interview, the live, the recent one that happened this year, she was talking about, you guys listened. She was talking about how she, like, stops people in New York who are reading her books. And I was like, well, going to, like, live on the streets with my books. Yeah.
It's so unfortunate. LA is not a place that you can walk around, because if that had been the case, if I'd known that sooner, I would have been just carrying her books all the time, just walking the streets.
Seriously.
Like, hey, SJM, come find me.
I was casually looking at apartments in New York to see if any, like, I'm like, I kind of like, who wants to spend a month in New York with me? Amy, I was like, low key and Matt, right? Like, who wants to just go get an apartment in New York and just stay there for a month? Let's, like, get an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, like, that, now that you're bringing that up, I think I would just walk around with her book, like, on both sides of my face.
Yep.
All around.
Have a special jacket made that just says, like, hi, Sarah, I love your books. Just, like, so that way, whenever you're out, she sees it.
Hi, Sarah, I love your books. I love that so much.
It's just, like, talk to me about Sarah J. Maas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's smart. Mm-hmm. Because then you attract all the SJM fans. Others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I low-key start saying, like, have you heard of this, like, podcast? I don't know if you've heard of these. You should talk.
Start passing out stickers.
Yeah. I casually drink from my Stanley that has our logo.
Yep.
All right. Now we have to, like, obviously dive into the Crescent City of it all. And I think, Lily, the last time we talked to you was, like, relatively soon after
House it was pretty of
Sky and Breath. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was probably like that March or something like that.
I think it was May.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 3 months after. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So what were both of your initial thoughts after House? Do you remember? I remember a little bit of what you described, but can you guys give us, like, a recap of the initial, okay, House and Sky of Breath, it is done.
It was 3 a.m. My husband was asleep next to me. And I was hyperventilating and I shut my book, and I live in New England. So there's snow on the ground. It was below freezing. I went outside and I paced my driveway because there was no way I could be quiet. And I literally paced my driveway back and forth. And I was thinking about, this is not a secret, but when I first read A Court of Silver Flames, I was like, this felt off. Something about this felt off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't touch on it. There was just something weird. And then, so I was pacing my driveway and I went, oh, that's why it felt off. It was because it was setting this up. It was setting up Bryce. Like, all these little bits of information that I was like, that felt a little jammed in there. That felt a little, like, not maybe not needed. Like, I was kind of confused about it all. And then I was like, oh my goodness, Tower of Dawn, like the Dead City, like all of this stuff kind of started like filtering through my brain. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, how did she do this? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the spiral. And then I had to babysit that morning. So I was up early.
This was
children. Yeah.
So Rosie, you said you also, you looked like you resonated when you said, when Lily said that Silver Flames was also like off for you.
Yeah.
None of it was off. Like I'm a passive reader clearly, but so you had a similar reaction then of like immediately thinking about Silver Flames then?
Yeah. So I had read like my first ever SJM book was Earth and Blood. So I like love, I have a very special place in my heart for Crescent City.
Oh.
It came out. Yeah. I'd taken a break from reading because I was like sad. I just moved and it was like COVID and everything. And then I was like living somewhere new and had a new job and I was just like a little bit lost. And then I had been on like a library waiting list for Earth and Blood for like 6 months because I was like, I want to get back into reading. And I picked it up. I ended up just getting it on Kindle and I was like, well, this is my whole personality now. And I need to read everything else that she's ever written. And smashed through Throne of Glass, which I love, favorite series. And then I went back and did ACOTAR and then loved ACOTAR. But yeah, ACOSIF, I was like, this is like different. And there's a whole lot of stuff in here which doesn't really relate to previous story. I knew it was like a new story starting, but it just felt a little bit disconnected in terms of like Sarah's writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt like a bit too much info dump for stuff we never found out about in the book. And then, after House Ab, I say A Quarter Silver Flames, it's like reading a different book because all of a sudden all of this stuff starts to make sense. Like pre-House Ab, it's kind of like a smutty like history lesson, I guess. Like,
yeah. You know, smutty history lesson. Yeah. I love
you're
that.
Like, okay, there's like holding onto headboards, and then there's like the history of Prithian and the courts, and you're kind of like getting whiplash between them. And then afterwards, it all starts to come together.
I'm so glad you said that because we constantly get questions of when are you going to do Silver Flames? And it's because there's so much meat in Crescent City on which Silver Flame depends.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
we can't talk about it until Silver Flames or until Crescent City is over.
I also think there's a flip side to all of this is that I hear it so much is like people can't read Crescent City. They're like, it's too much. Like the world is too much. Yeah. And I'm like, when you reread it after Hosab, you're like, oh, that's why it was so meaty. That's why there's so much. It's because she was trying to show, like she was showing what was going to happen without. She was telling without showing, without making it obvious. So I'm like, the world building will only make sense after Hosab.
Yeah. And to add another layer to that of like the skill that is SJM, and here's a little teaser for, should we say it, Amy? Like the one of the, you know where I'm going with, the reading it the second time.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to talk about that too.
Okay. So this is a teaser for listeners for the season 5. So and add an extra layer of complexity that is SJM. Amy, go ahead.
Sure. So in our first episode of season 5, we talk about the fact that when you're reading House of Earth and Blood for the first time, we are Bryce. It's a lot of information. We don't know how to process it. And we kind of ignore it until the reread, we are Danica. We understand. We have all this information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we see how all the pieces are threaded together.
So if you approach it as you read it as a Bryce and then you approach it as you are Danica, it's like she kind of did it. It was perfect. Like she had it as a Bryce and Danica reading information taking in as like the reader. And then so you have, cool. So it's like you have all this happening as well as all the information happening. You're like, oh, fine. Someone give her a prize. Please.
I think that's what's so amazing.
She deserves it.
Sarah J. Maas, right? It's like the books are great on the first read. First reads are amazing, but the rereads are what get me.
Yeah.
And you can do something like that, like go back and read from like a different person's perspective.
Yeah.
I know. Everything
I love it. Right. Yeah, so exactly. Good. I love it because I play video games and I love games that are replayable. They have replay value. And all of Sarah's books have reread value.
Mm-hmm. And they're better on Goodreads.
So much better. They hit just as hard. I think it's sometimes harder when you know what's coming mm-hmm. out as well.
Yep.
Like I'm reading yep. Queen of Shadows at the moment. I'm just about finished. But yesterday I got up to, you know, the part where like Adian, like who is that? Adian smiled, it's Rowan. And knowing that was coming, like knowing was just, it just made when it actually happened like so much more like climactic, yeah. I guess.
Yes. So good. I was just watching your a video you posted yesterday of like the word marks, time travel theory, but before, but like, which I like, we'll descend into chaos mm. in a little bit, but we have a different chaotic question, which good luck answering. But
what do you predict will happen to Bryce, Hunt, and Rune in Flame and Shadow?
Oh, that's like you six can, different questions.
Yeah, you can tackle it. So let's just start one at a time. Let's start with Bryce.
Oh,
she's gonna train.
I think for. Yeah, she's going to train.
Uh-huh.
Like the biggest thing about Bryce and the issue that Bryce was having was that she cannot hold power mm-hmm. for long. It keeps draining. So one of my first original theories about House of Flame and Shadow was that Bryce needs a siphon mm-hmm. to hold mm-hmm. power so that she can use it like a battery, like, you know, tap into it every time she needs it. That way she's never left hanging, essentially. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Bryce needs to train because she hasn't. She's like, everyone's just like, you need to start training. And she's just like, yeah. later. Who needs to train? Don't tell me what to do. And I'm like, okay.
She goes to train and has sex in a gym.
Yeah. Or like she does start to train winnowing a little bit. And like with her and Cormac, like he does try to get her to like, do a little bit more, but Declan points out, there's this one very specific scene that I just like have kind of always in the back of my mind, where he's like, we can't fully understand nor trust whatever you're doing because you have the horn literally in your bloodstream. Like, mm-hmm. we almost shouldn't even tamper with it because we don't know what the repercussions are of us, mm-hmm. of you using it. Like, are you opening rifts without even knowing it?
Mm-hmm. And, like, on that as well, I just, because I'm just in Queen of Shadows at the moment, Bryce having the horn, like, in her is very similar to, like, Keltaine in the word mm-hmm. gate as well.
You're so right.
Well, she is a living gate now, yeah. like, which is what Arwen was, like, trying to achieve throughout the entire Throne of Glass, like Danica did on a drunken Tuesday yeah. night.
And like Keltaine talks about how her power is like absorbed and changed by the key that's inside of her and like what is happening with Bryce's starlight and the horn.
And on top, like, can I just like continue on to that, Rosie? Like bounce right off of you? So if the horn is a part of the Trove, which we can kind of somewhat say is canon because Bryce, right, Nesta sees it in like mm-hmm. veiled in shadow in Silver Flames. They continuously talk about how nefarious the mm-hmm. Trove is mm-hmm. and like it's sentient and mm-hmm. like evil. And that's in Bryce, like inside of her. Like, is it? I know it was somehow nullified, which we were told that Trove items can't be nullified, which is suspicious. What did Peleus do? Mm-hmm. But so it was remade. So like it could have been remade with love. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. way it's like, you know, changed. But if it's not remade with love and it's still whatever evil properties it was to begin with, is that somehow influencing Bryce? Mm-hmm. Could it wake up and just take over Bryce's body? Like,
yeah,
there's so much to that.
And bouncing off that as well, like there's a line in Silver Flames where they talk about the Trove being sentient and like wanting to be connected again. And because mm-hmm. Bryce is the horn, like, is that why when she jumped through that gate, she ended up in Prithian? Because the horn wanted to go back.
Was that why she even went looking to begin with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it wanted to return home, it could have just been like inside her brain going like, hey, you should start nudging this way. You should start nudging this way.
So I want to go back to your horn. Like, it was remade with love. And now it's like bringing it through a literary analysis lens. two worlds collide. It kind of like makes sense that it was remade with love and then it's on her back because she continues to wear the jacket that says through love, all is possible. Mm-hmm. So it's like literally connected. Love. It's like literally connected.
Well, then to bounce off of that, when it does come in, like now she's in the same vicinity as the other items, which are, you know, siblings, you know, are they going to reject back? Her?
And that
or like, is it going to be an issue?
It kind of also bounces off that whole thing that's throughout ACOTAR, which is like made and remade.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. how like yeah. the horn was broken and then it was remade by the synth.
Right, and right. And everything that's remade is never remade in its own image. It's always remade in an upgraded or different image. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah.
And if they were made by the cauldron, which we can kind of assume, the cauldron was remade by Feyre and Rhys, and it's kind of theirs. I mean, not theirs, but theirs. Like, is that going to come into place now?
Then control Bryce through her back horn.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but
so fast, so quickly.
We don't need to egg on the Rhys's evil people.
I am a firm. I don't believe Rhys is evil. I mean, is that where you guys both stand?
Right. Yeah. No.
Are we just gonna I am very much against such in the bin. Like,
what? Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people like trying to like twist the Rhys-ness of everything, and I'm like, I wouldn't go that. I wouldn't.
He was
say
never
that.
Good to begin with. People like he was right. just. He's he was never. Character. He was always flawed.
Anyone who thinks Rhys is going to be evil just needs to go back to the beginning and just read ACOTAR again.
Yeah,
see how much that man suffered and everything.
Yeah. And also, like, Feyre loves Rhys so much.
Yeah,
like she says time and time again, he's her favorite character. Like, I mean, I know she likes to play with the evilness, but I don't think her favorite character is inherently evil.
It's like loosely based off of her husband, even though she says it's not, but he has her birthday, looks like him, and has like everything else is similar.
Like what kills me about like Feyre inserting her husband into her characters was like that interview she did with Josh, where Josh has like a backwards sun ball hat on and it's white, like exactly like Hunt's. And like, I love that. I love it so much.
It's so cute.
You write what you know.
When you have a hot husband.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did Bryce. What about Hunt? Let's throw in some Hunt theory. So are we assuming that he can't remember anything? Like he's lost all memory? No, we're not assuming that.
If you look at the Bloomsbury, like the back, the information we've gotten on Hofast, just like if you look at any listing of it, it does show like Hunt's thoughts, like his POV and him talking about like how he's in shit, like he's in deep shit, like he's back where he started, like he's trying to help his mate even though she's worlds away, like
so it
sounds like he has all of his faculties, he has all of his free will, at least on surface level. Like there's definitely wiggle room to play with. You know, we have no idea what the Asteri are really capable of, and that's kind of something that was started to get brought up in HOSAP was what are the Asteri's power. There's like an old article that Danica had collected that someone was saying how like we've actually never seen the Asteri on a battlefield, we never actually seen them use their power, like we just know that they can and they threaten it, but we've never actually seen it. But we do know that Rigelus shapeshifted into Aedas, pretended to be Aedas in HOSAB, so like there is wiggle room for, you know, Rigelus or any of the Asteri taking over Hunt's body or pretending to be Hunt in certain situations. That could definitely happen. But I think safest answer from the information we have on HOSAB is Hunt has his faculties and Hunt remembers. And it is Hunt.
The line, and Hunt knew no more, that is where a lot of this, like Hunt's memories are gone, theories are coming from. But she's used that line several times throughout her series when like people have just passed out or
knocked out
most I think the easiest one to like for me to call back to is when Feyre is under the mountain and it's right after she makes the bargain and she gets, you know, the snot stuffed out of her. It's the same line that's used there.
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, what's also interesting with, you know, the Crescent City world. It's like I like to call it Zootopia, but with fantasy. And a Disney classic movie, if no one knows what I'm talking about. But it is one thing that they cover in CC2, because I mix all the house of everything.
It's okay.
So, yeah. They talk a little bit, because I do marketing during my daytime job, and they talk a lot about like being in the press, and you're, you know, doing a lot of like, there's a lot of PR involved because now they're famous and everything. Mm-hmm. And just when you're talking about like pretending to be Hunt, well, you have two public figures in this world, Bryce and Hunt. Everyone knows who they are. They are celebrities now in this world. And there's a certain amount of like PR that the Asterii are really aware of. Mm-hmm. And you see that with like their propaganda that they put out with like the everything that goes on. And it's a lot more similar to our world. And it's just like another layer of thinking that they have to do. And, you know, pretending to be Hunt makes sense to me because there's an image to uphold, and the Asterii are really concerned with their image.
And on that, like, I think they have a right to be, because even in, I think, Earth and Blood, the Autumn King is talking about marrying Rune off to Hypaxia to ensure there's an alliance, because he senses that there could be a power shift coming up, and he wants as many allies for the Fae as possible if the Asterii, you know, wobble or anything. He senses that something could be coming. That's like a whole different theory about the Autumn King being a rebel, but like they need that public favor. They need people and their armies to, you know, still worship them as almost gods and see them as indestructible so that they keep their power. It's like the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah. So now that you've said that they could be impersonating Hunt for control, PR, why not Bryce? She's nowhere around.
That one's going to be a big one.
So
Rune as well. Yeah. I mean, Rune is crown prince.
Exactly. They could end up.
People are going to notice him missing.
Right.
Yeah. He probably has like work meetings scheduled for like that next Monday.
What are the chances? Okay. Yeah. So now I have an unhinged theory, and maybe someone else has already had this theory. What if the. I have all sorts of theories about the Seventh Asterii, but what if Sirius is actually in the public disguised as someone else?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I am. So this is the hot topic. You know, everybody loves to talk about the Seventh Asterii, and it's going to be important. She's going to be important because we get so much on her, more than any of the other Asterii who are alive. We know her name and like a little bit of backstory and all that stuff. The thing that always trips me up is when Hunt is talking about how there's like war ballots to what Apollyon did to her body after the battle. Like there's like some pretty gruesome details. Like
can you remind it me of literally Apollyon? Sound
wait, one of the princes of hell.
Thank you.
the seventh.
It's not like I'm covering this book or anything.
So Apollyon is the seventh.
Daddy.
The daddiest. He is the daddiest. Gotcha.
And so he destroyed her body, but not in a good way.
Devoured her. It says devoured her.
He's called the Star Eater.
Star Eater.
Yeah. Because he literally sounds like he like cooked her over a fire, salted, put a little ranch on, cut her up, and like stuck her in his mouth.
Why are you making this sound good? Like.
Yeah,
because I am a Napoleon apologist till the day I die.
Yep.
Like, he's evil. I don't trust him. But also, like, you don't have to trust people to simp for them.
That's true.
I mean, like, all we know is that he ate her. Like, that could have many meanings.
And that's
he's a star.
There is like really great theories on that. So the thing with me and Sirius is that we like get this pretty like public display of death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just sounds like the thing that that's my pro to they're actually dead. My other side of it, because I am my own worst enemy and lawyer, I'll argue with myself back and forth in the mirror all day long, is that Rigelus talks about how their number one enemy is Perithian for slaying their siblings 1,000 years before they got to Midgard. And you would think that Sirius, the retribution of Sirius's death would be far more important because she is his closest, you know, she was a closer sibling. She was part of his, you know, core group. So why is Hell not even their number one? Why is it Perithian and that revenge more important? That's my, you know, back and forth argument I have.
Maybe Sirius betrayed the other Asteri.
So they talk about how the princes learned how to slip through the cracks in the realms from one of the Asteri's generals that they had captured in the war. And that's how they learned to, like, you know, maneuver around, which is terrifying to think that the Asteri already know how to do that and could have been doing that this entire time. And world jumping.
Well, and then again, coming back to marketing perspective, where why would they be advertising that seventh seat, that empty seventh seat? Like, they keep honoring that open space. And it's like, you know, in general, you kind of want to sweep that under a rug if it doesn't represent full strength. So if you're not trying to show, hey, we're the full, like, we're so super strong, you can't get us, then why keep waving that around?
I think it's because of the number seven. Like, I have to have seven.
Yeah.
It's
or
so important for them to have seven everything.
Or for marketing. We know that demons still do be slipping through them cracks. So they could still keep that seat open to show, like, Hell is still our enemy. Like, don't trust them.
Because seven is important, but there's nothing filled. Like, you're so still important. You're just really showing six, you know, like, it's,
I guess, like, there's a really powerful, like, I don't know, force though, is like, don't speak ill of the dead. Like, you don't want to criticize the Asteri. Like,
oh, not me.
None of them's gone.
I know what I was gonna say. I'm like,
not me. But, like,
in general things, like, as soon as, like, you know, like, someone dies, the general public is like, don't talk about all the bad things they did. You know? So that could be another, like, just from a marketing thing, is like, look at us, we're all powerful, but we do have that sympathetic element as well. We lost someone. We're just like you. Like, kind of thing.
And look what we sacrificed to save Midgard.
From the war.
So now for the third one that we asked, Rune Danon, crown prince of the Balbar and Fae, or also known. If we remember SJM way, way long ago, I think she did that, like, interview and said something like, my editor was horrified about what I had happened to him, so I had to cut it back a little bit. Which, like, editor, back the hell off. You've sucked it up so much.
Let us hurt. Thank you. The thing that I'm most terrified for Rune is actually also in line with Lydia, is that Mordok is a bloodhound, so he can sniff out mating bonds. So put them in a room together, Mordok is going to immediately know that they're mates.
Wait, I can't, did I forget that they're, like, actually mates?
Well, Rune says that their scents had merged at the very end of Hosap. He notes that their scents had merged. And that no one but him would notice it. Except for a bloodhound. Who's stalking the halls and is known for breaking prisoners.
I'm afraid Rune's going to relive the PTSD from his, the time he spent as a kid with his father, right? The burning. And my heart hurts for him.
But they, what can they do? Okay, so we know he's getting tortured because SJM told us that. But, like, he's a crown prince. You got to let him go a little bit, don't you? Rosie, you look like you have.
I just think the perfect way to torture both of them is for Hunt to be the one torturing Rune, right? Because he has so much backed up PTSD from the things that he did in the war and the things that Micah made him do as well. Or Mika, I don't know how to say it.
No, you got it right.
And I think that's, like, the worst thing that he could do is torture someone that's, like, his friend, and not just his friend, but, like, his mate's brother. And, you know, I can't imagine getting tortured by, like, Hunt would be pleasant either for Rune.
What if
mess up the relationship as well as, like, it's like a psychological issue, not just, like, physical pain, which is so messed up.
But what if they make Rune torture Lydia?
Oh,
talk about psychological pain.
So I feel like there's this assumption that Rune is going to be down there for a long time, trapped, and he's going to be, you know, like he's a prisoner for a while. But like, again, I think you can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time and spit him back out, because Autumn King is going to raise hell to get him back.
Well, we hope. But Declan was watching the entire time.
Right, right.
So Declan knows everything that Bryce knows. Mm-hmm. He knows everything that's happened since then. So I have a lot of faith in Declan, at least screen recording. And he could hack into, you know, Times Square or whatever they have in Lunathan and blast that, you know, essentially. Like, I kind of hold out hope that they have at least a bargaining chip. At the very least, a bargaining chip. But I think specifically with Rune, there's so many ways that I've kind of just shut out all thoughts of Rune and Hunt from the second that I finished the book. And I've thought very briefly on what is to come. Mostly because I am a little bit of a masochist and I do like to hurt. So I want the full effect of whatever's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. But one of my thoughts is a good way to get Hunt to do whatever they need to do PR wise or anything wise is to be like, if you don't, we'll hurt Rune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So then Hunt has to go on and pretend like and be there, you know, literally be leashed by them.
Yep.
So that they don't harm Rune. And, you know, Lydia and Hunt have a very interesting relationship. So they could kind of be in cahoots with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In that way, like, as well, like, they're kind of at the Asteri's mercy to spare Rune.
Yeah.
So that could happen. But like you said, Sarah said, be afraid, be very afraid. Like, okay, so Aelin 0.2, but worse because it's no longer YA. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. That gave me the chills.
Can't wait to.
I mean, they could take his tattoos away. They could take his hair away. Like, there's so many things.
Not the hair.
I have like a, I've said this, I think on lives before, I have like this headcanon of like, after they get Rune out, Rune's just like laughing it off, like whatever. He goes up to his room, shuts the door, and like the noise cuts out. He walks into the bathroom and he like just pulls out a razor and just like bicks his head off, like takes off all of the hair to just like take away that. Mm-hmm. Like that's my headcanon. Even if it doesn't happen, in my head, that happens.
The reason why I like that is because by the time he meets Rhys, because let's be real, everyone's going to go and meet each other. Mm-hmm. If he has shorter hair, he'll look more like Rhys.
Mm-hmm. True.
Feyre's gonna have some dreams.
God.
Those two just like comparing tets as well. That's like a headcanon I have.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, like. Oh my god! Like, I am.
I can just do them magically. Watch this. Want to make a bargain?
So before this is not in the question, and like, let's see if you guys can answer this in like the shortest amount of time before I get to the next one, but. Rune related to Rhys or reincarnation of Rhys or
related?
Related.
Amy, go ahead.
Related. I was at this is actually in the episode I'm taking notes on for right now. But we know Queen Thea had two daughters. One's Lady Helena, one's unnamed. Mm-hmm. And Lady Helena has black hair, tan skin with the powers of starlight and shadows. So I think, and you guys probably have already talked about this on your TikTok channels, but Rune's related to Lady Helena. Rhys is related to the younger daughter, whose name we don't know.
And the younger daughter they never found, right? We know Lady Helena stayed in Midgard.
She sprints off into the night.
Yeah, I think.
Is what they say.
Yeah, and I think she stayed in Prithian. And that's why.
She's the one who closed. She was the last one to use the harp. Mm-hmm. She closed. She had Truth Teller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that she is on the an Illyrian line.
Yeah.
Yep.
Specifically.
So canon and, to me now. Like, I'm going to be so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've just decided that this is what's happening. I need to, like, my brain before I read the book and, like, go back to what's actually canon and what isn't.
So, Feyre's wedding ring is a ring with a sapphire with a six pointed star in it. That is passed down through by the females in Reese's mother's line. Mm-hmm. I bet that ring is the princess's ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or her siphon.
It like glows like a star, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a six-pointed star, which Hypaxia talks about the importance of. Mm-hmm. It says that it glows as if a starfall soul is trapped in it, which is so suspicious.
So suspicious.
I have like so many more questions to pick your brain, but before we go into it, like every time you guys say something, I get chills. I'm like, oh my god, you're right. Okay. So it's been almost 2 years since Sky and Breath, because Sarah had to rewrite the entire thing. No judgment, just pain. That's all, yep. Sarah. But
I'm glad she told us at least.
Yeah.
I did. I am too. And I respect it where it's like it just wasn't working and she needed to make it work. And she wrote two freaking books. Like, good for you.
Yeah, she knows her. At least she knows her stuff. Like what she put in there, she wanted in there.
Yeah. Damn right. But what was a theory that you originally were absolutely convinced of in the beginning and now you think totally differently on? No, you just stayed consistent. This is not a great question.
I don't want to be egotistical. There's one thing.
You haven't like changed your mind on anything of like, you know what, maybe he is, like, maybe this is a little bit different than.
The only thing I can like, I mean, and I sound so egotistical, which is like not great. the only thing I can really think of is Mist. Every time Mist comes up, there's Valg like presence, but I also now see how it could just be like some type of, maybe it is like, you know, Valg heritage, but like some kind of shield.
Mm-hmm.
I still stand by like whenever you see a Valg, there's always Mist, which is weird. Yeah. But there's also a few other times where you see Mist and I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's something a little, like maybe there's a little bit more to it than that I haven't quite grasped yet.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm scrolling through, like I posted like right when I finished House Ab. and I hadn't thought anything through and I hadn't made any TikTok videos or even reread anything. And I'm still looking at it like,
So I will say Mist from a literary perspective is that idea of clouding the truth, shielding, things are unresolved. So I could see what you're saying, Lily, where sometimes it might represent this, but sometimes it might represent something else.
Yeah. And then I think the only other thing that I don't feel like super, I have really solid thoughts and, you know, I've done like a 2 hour, actually it's probably 3 hours altogether. There's three episodes on my own podcast where I talk about Amryn, the Book of Breathings and what Amryn could be. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, I was like, I feel so solidly about both being true. And I still don't think I've fallen 100, like I'm always just like walking the line almost on it, like where I could fall on either side of, you know, could she be Valg or could she be Asteria, because there's just so much evidence pointing to both of them. But then it just ends up going into the, are the Asteria Valg, are the Valg Asteria, where the princes of hell fit into just loop that you can't ever, you can only go deeper but you can never come out of. There's just like those kind of spirals.
That's fair. I really hope we find out soon. No, we're not. There's no guarantees with Flame and Shadow.
She said we're going to find out a lot.
Yeah, but that doesn't.
It's going to be nonstop reveals. But more questions.
It really is
stressing me out.
Stressful.
I just don't think there's a plausible way for Bryce to be on Perithian, for there to be a big battle where they defeat the Asteria and also set up something else at this, like all in the same book. Like if it was longer than 864 pages, like that'd be one thing. But since it's not, I'm like, there's only going to be time for pieces.
Wait, do we know what's the word? What's the page count?
Oh, hang on. Oh, well, my phone's right there.
I don't know the page numbers, but didn't Bloomsbury just confirm that Sarah signed for more Crescent City books?
Yeah. Well, she's signed for seven. In
a handed way, though, like she's continuing the series.
Yeah. And so it could be like a Nesta situation.
Well, she's continuing ACOTAR. Like, the next book we do know is an ACOTAR book.
We do know that this is the last core Bryson Hunt book.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
She did confirm that. Yeah. But we don't know how many more books that she was signed for are specifically Crescent City books. But she did say there are, what, there's like four. There are.
She was five, like, there's four five, houses or five houses. Houses. I've only covered
five
three.
Five houses. Yeah. And so
there was no, like, usually, you know, when you look at other Kingdom of Ash, like, promo stuff, it's like the epic conclusion or like the grand finale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's none of that. There's none of that with Crescent City. We she does so, maybe we get end of Bryson Hunt, but there are a lot of other characters.
So do you think that the ACOTAR crew is gonna go to the Crescent City land? Midgard. I know the names, but do you think like they're gonna travel there, or does Bryce go back and they're like, see ya?
I think
or
is Bryce everyone is definitely gonna there? Go home.
Right. Well, yeah, Bryce is gonna go home. But, like, do you think we're going to ever get Cassian with a pizza and a gun?
Oh, my gosh.
I hope so.
SGM manages to find some really funny moments. Like, she, like, you know, and even with all the, like, intense drama, there are some prime comedy gold in there that it's, like, to taunt us like this and to not have... Mm-hmm. Like them, like I just want to see them go into, go into Crescent City world and be like electricity. What I mean, though, it's not electricity, but you know,
the thing is that so in ACOTAR, the future of the ACOTAR plot was pretty was spelled out. It's going to be Toshikashi who is on Perithian, but. We still haven't gotten Throne of Glass yet. So if there's going to be another step in the SJM universe, it's going to be Tog. Like, she's going to come back into Tog.
She didn't write an epic like Throne of Glass. Like, she that series is so, so incredible to not... Yeah. If she's going to do a massiverse, to not bring that masterpiece into things, I reckon. Even if it's like... I think we talked about this like last week, Lily, even if it's not like named characters or things like that, if it's passing references to things in Throne of Glass or like, you know, just like little connections that readers will pick up. But I think, I feel like her saying the door isn't completely shut on Throne of Glass in one of those reviews a little while ago, there's like definite potential.
Yeah.
She also was talking about how she's been thinking about the witches a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Regretting killing off 13 of them, RESJM, because.
Seriously.
Yeah, I just brought that down. Amy, go ahead. I know you have another question.
What, if there's one connection you could name, what is, or multiple, I will not limit you, but what's at least one thing that you think connects ACOTAR and Crescent City that you think readers should be aware of going into Flame and Shadow?
The books in Jezebel's library, the Book of Breathings.
Yes.
But it looks different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
ACOTAR, what book is in what library?
The Book of Breathings is in Jezebel's library.
Yes.
I texted you about this.
The one that Feyre yeets into the void at the ending of ACOWAR in a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we posted about this on our stories, ma'am.
I forgot about it. I delete this information so quickly from my brain so that I get to relive these fun moments.
The Walking Dead is also there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and then the other one was something about numbers, right?
On the divine number.
Yeah.
And the queen with many faces.
And
Yes.
Yep.
Aelin, maybe?
Aelin. Maybe.
Maeve, also.
Damn.
Also, another like really fun connection between the two series that I love and like had me suspicious even before House App was like, you know, in ACOTAR and Feyre fights the Midengard worm.
Yeah.
And then in House of
Earth and Blood.
Rune is talking about like the ordeal and how you have to fight a worm and they're on Midgard. And I always thought that was funny. was like, oh. Yes. Well,
and then I'm like, wait, are we doing time travel? Is that what we're in?
Yeah.
You know, because it's so like, okay, if Farrah threw the book into the battlefield, which completely forgot about, and I'm still trying to remember those words, but like that happened. Yes. What?
She threw it at the cauldron as it was creating the void.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. The void. And then I delete all of this after we do a season. I'm like, never again will I pull the two thoughts merge. But okay, so it's like if she throws it and then it ends up in Jessica's library and it's been around forever, and this is like books that have been around for so long, so then that implies timeline length, but we know that Bryce arrives roughly 6 months after Nyx's birth. The fuck? That's all I've got.
Yeah.
Really quick is the Book of Breathings in Akatar is like a metal, it's like metal plates connected by metal rings. But and also it's like you can't read the Book of Breathings. It's in like a different language. But in House of Earth and Blood, it's very much like Bryce like skims her hand over Reads the spines. It, yeah. Like spines implies like there's a spine of this book, not metal rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe it's a translation of or a recording of the Book of Breathings.
I actually had a theory that there were three.
Oh, you think there's three Book of Breathings?
I was because there were three different rings. Mm-hmm. There could be three different editions. We don't know how many Daglin there were. Maybe each one of them had a copy of it. Like,
And like the Book of Breathings also had instructions on how to like break the cauldron, right? Or how to use the cauldron. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like, why does Jessica have that?
How did she, like, even if it is the exact same edition, how did she get that?
And like, did it just fall into her
lap one day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jessica's been working, like, okay, I don't know if you guys have covered this or, like, this is an original thought, which I doubt this is an original thought. Probably got it from watching you guys. But, like, we can agree that Jessica, like, Fury set up Bryce to work with Jessica. Because they're like trying to protect her or something. Like there's like a clear, to me, it was like Jessica has in my mind, this like, I like looking out after Bryce. Like there's a certain amount, like obviously she's keeps threatening her, but it's not real. And she got her trapped to work for her for 300 years. So there's a certain amount of like, she can keep an eye on Bryce.
Definitely. The story of Bryce getting the job is actually one of my favorites because I think it's just hilarious is that Jezebel and Fury were in a poker game and Jezebel was complaining that she needed an assistant and Fury knew that Bryce needed a job. And so she shoved Bryce's name so like far up Jezebel's skirts that she just like couldn't say no, essentially. Mm. Like she just kept like pestering her, like, you should just hire my friend Bryce. You should just hire my friend Bryce. And kind of essentially did that. And then at the end of House of Earth and Blood, Jezebel's like talking to Adis and she's just like, why didn't you tell me? And he's just like, I didn't trust anybody, not even you, with who she was. So like Jezebel didn't really even necessarily know.
Fair. That is fair. Well, there goes my thoughts. Thank you for cleaning that
up. I'm so sorry.
No. That's why I'm happy. I have.
No, I hate doing that sometimes.
Don't, because I need like picture diagrams of everything you guys are explaining. Like I need little photos of who's who, and to make it all make sense. Okay, so
I get that.
If you could give, like, I know you guys have a lot of headcanons of what you think is going to happen and everything, but if you were to give me only three solid things you think is definitely going to happen, like, you're willing to risk and bet it all that three things in Flame and Shadow are going to happen.
I'm going to interconnect this with things that, like, I think they're going to happen, but I also, like, really, really want them to happen. The first is Deck and the frat pack, Deck and Flynn, etc., working and Ethan working with Jezebel to sort of find out what's happened to like Bryce and Rune, etc., and them opening one of those books and it is Once Upon a Time in a Land Long Since Burned to Ash, there lived a princess who loved her kingdom very much, and that being like a throne of glass.
If those are the words, I'm going to cry. Like, yeah. If that's what is in the book and it has, I will start sobbing immediately.
If she wants to set the fandom on fire, like, yeah, that's what she wants to do. Also, like, the Dusk Court Starborn reveal. I think that's definitely going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Oh my
God, do you think that the Dusk Court is the prison? Is that where we've landed on?
Yeah. I definitely think that's going to be part of it. And I also think we're going to get, this is like almost confirmed though, so I feel like it's cheating, but aliens fall through worlds. We're going to get Reese's point of view. I'm sorry, Lily. I know you're probably going to say that as well.
I wrote the exact same thing down on my little cheat sheet.
Okay, were those your exact same three?
No, I had Reese talking about Aelin's fall. Mostly because how easy would it be? Sarah already wrote it. She wrote that whole scene and then cut it from Silver Flames because she hates me. Thank you. Like, personally, she was grumbling my name as she like ripped it out of the book.
Literally,
screw that, Lillian. But mine is, we're going to get Amryn's story. Sarah had talked about how it's something that she wants to tell. I have an original copy of Akafast, where there's like a really great interview in there, and she talks about a lot of stuff in it. It's awesome. But that was one of the things where she's like, one day I want to tell Amryn's story, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I was just like, you tricky little bastard. And then I have the Dead Realm, like going to the Dead Realm, someone going to the Dead Realm, someone dying on purpose, and or Hypaxia bringing someone back from the dead with her necromancy powers. So like someone who was dead now coming back and being alive again, which a whole slew of stuff. Like there's like endless possibilities of who that could be.
You gave Amy an aggressive thought.
Yeah. So I have a really, really outlandish theory, but I want you to finish.
Okay. Well, that was it. That's all and then I have, I had four listed.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah. I said four.
So yeah. I have Bryce with a Pegasus, either seeing them or riding one or taking one home. That's happening.
You're taking one home.
She's like sneaking one out of Helion's pen. Like,
she just has one under the arm, like, all right, back to Midgard.
There's nothing behind me.
She like flies up Ramiel. She's like, I'm not walking there.
We just
flies up, and that's where the gate is, and she's
If there's anything that I respect about Bryce is that she cuts corners in training, and that's me at the gym cutting the corners that I need.
Okay, let me just find.
Oh, she's quoting. Quoting, ladies.
I'm excited.
So early on in Earth and Blood, Bryce and Hunt are walking past the Heart Gate. And Bryce talks about making a wish at the Heart Gate, and she's like, I wished for my boobs to be bigger. And it worked out for her.
Yeah.
And she asks, why can't I find the right chapter? She asks Hunt, like, well, if you could make a wish that could come true, what would it be? And Hunt doesn't say it out loud, but he thinks to himself, I can't find it right now. Basically, I wish my mother was alive and safe. I wish that Sandriel and Micah and the Asteri would be defeated. I wish something else. Oh, that I could be free. And I wish, you know, for the hierarchy to change. So by the end of Earth and Blood, 50% of that is basically achieved, which to me signals the rest at some point is going to also be achieved. So keep that in mind. Maybe Hunt's mother is alive or comes back to life through Hypaxia, because I also have a theory that Hunt's mother could be related to Sirius in some way, because Hunt's name is Orion and Sirius is Orion's dog.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's coincidence. Just putting that out there.
I mean, it would tie into the fact that Sarah had said we were going to be getting the mystery of Hunt's parentage revealed.
Yep.
So yep. if there's anybody who knows who Hunt's daddy is, it would be his mother. His
mummy.
Mother.
Yeah. yeah.
Who would you sleep with?
Seriously.
Age 193 of House of Earth and Blood.
Thank you.
You found that?
Oh, it is. I was.
I'm very good at Kindle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was looking at the wrong side of the book, but you are correct. I have it right there.
Like, Rosie just casually pulls that out, be like, yeah. oh, here's that page.
We're very good at doing this. Seriously. We do this like on an everyday basis. We can, I can find anything in any of the 15 books. If you give me at least 2 minutes. Like, at least 2 minutes. Oh, yeah. As long as I remember, like, the, like, you can be like, this is the scene, and then I'll be like, okay, I remember the, almost the exact wording, and then I can pretty much
yeah.
find it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
It's scary. Mm-hmm.
It's a, I'm trying it's a, to.
My little
I wish
trick.
I was this good at school.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's, like, before we wrap up and say goodbye, I'm being selfish. And I'm like, is there anything that I want to know? Anything more? Like, because I think my brain is quite broken. And it's like whenever we do a theories episode, we always love to, like, quote both of you in our theories episode. And then at the end, Amy and I love to be like, yeah, I have, like, my, I can't think anymore. I'm done. Like, this is. Yeah.
And that happens.
Like, just go to Lily's podcast, Spatulas and Speculations.
Like, I just can't do it. Like, it's like, we give up so fast. Like, I can't even remember who's everyone. Like, oh, thoughts on Cat Daddy. Do you know what's going on with him?
Yeah.
I think I have, like, unhinged theory. Like, I think Adis has been there, like, this entire time. Like,
Adis has been what?
He is, like, involved.
Queen Thea.
Yeah. With everything. Like, if you sort of, if you reread the series, and there's always, like, a point where the female characters are at a point where they need to, like, fall into their power or learn their power. And mm-hmm. in Akamath, there's, like, a feline presence with Feyre
yes.
as she's looking out over the mountains. In Akasif, there is...
In the library, there's also library, the feline presence.
The cat-like presence.
Yeah.
And then... and the tour with Irene, there's all those cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and the suspicious lightning.
And the suspicious lightning. And there's a bunch of stuff with Aelin that I can't, like, recall right now.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, he's been there at, like, sort of pivotal moments with all of these main characters. And then he just, like, appears to Bryce and just straight out tells her, like, make the drop. Bryce Quinlan, make the drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't have time for this anymore. I've been fetching cake for that Nesta girl for far too long. Yeah. Like, let's get it going.
Let's go.
Oh, I love that. Is there any other, like, kind of selfish thoughts that you're trying to squeeze out of them, Amy, too? Or have we just, my brain is broken. Is your brain broken?
No, I'm really excited.
Oh, great. Love it. I'm happy I'm the only one struggling.
I think, like, it's really, I've had a, probably with you, Lily, as well, like, a bunch of people, like, kind of stressing out about how fast being, like, I can't remember everything. I need a recap.
Yeah.
I think Sarah will explain everything perfectly.
Yeah, she's definitely going to do some hand-holding.
Yeah, yeah, I
it's
going to
be fine.
One thing I've noticed rereading Crescent City is how much more she takes the time to explain feelings and thoughts of the characters, where she did less of that, and we had to do more interpretation in the ACOTAR series. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I feel like she's already set up the narrative to do more of that, like, oh, Hunt remembered this one time that Bryce said this one thing that applies here.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot more of explanation taking place.
Okay. Well, I need my handheld.
Yeah, so not to make this religious at all, but it's almost like a parable. Parables are written to be understood at this level and at this level, mm-hmm. surface level or deep yeah. level. And that's Sarah's books in a nutshell of yeah. like, and it's how analytical do you want to be? I can be here for a good time. I can be here for a long time. You pick it.
Yep. Yeah.
God. One day we'll all be at lunch with Sarah and she'll have, I mean, she might be sitting in the table next to us and we're all like in the corner watching her eat lunch, but I'm convinced like whoever, one of us has to meet her in 2024 or talk to her, like, please.
That's on that bingo card, I think, for 2024.
It is on.
I don't know if you guys have already tried to reach out to her before.
Yeah, we do.
For an interview. Yeah, I've done that. I was shot down by a Bloomsbury intern.
Same.
So we
went so far up the list.
there's like another workaround that I think we can do of like somehow getting a hold of her manager if we really wanted to.
I hope you do it.
So we have good relationships with the folks at Graphic Audio.
Mm. Yeah.
That would also be.
Are you guys going to start doing a little bit of narration?
No.
We've interviewed people.
I was gonna say, because you guys you guys have such great voices.
Oh my god!
You should do if they really? Need actors, Thank you should so do much. It. Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't prepared for this.
Throwing a few good girls, they'd hire you right on the spot.
Oh, right away. Thank you. I definitely like we've interviewed them, and we interviewed. I think the closest one is we've interviewed the director.
Yeah.
Who. I don't think, did she have a direct link to Sarah?
Or Sarah's people.
Sarah's people. And, you know, so we have people who know people, but I think we might, you know, 2024, if we all just like build a big enough presence, we cannot be ignored.
I want to be a force that they have to, like, I know I'm blacklisted. I know I'm one of their outlaws, but like, at some point,
Wait, you do you have actually to think face you're blacklisted?
No, I actually do. No, I really do think I am.
Yeah.
There's a whole, I have like a conspiracy theory on this.
When we stop recording, can you tell me your conspiracy theory?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, Amy, you had the last question.
Sure. Are there any projects coming up that you would like our listeners to know about? Do you want to plug your handle? Anything you want to say that our listeners should know about you before we
close?
I mean,
for you, Jack, I will be doing the next 3 weeks, every Wednesday on my podcast, I'll be doing things you should skim read really quick before HoFast comes out, please. For each series. So
yes, please. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll be doing that for anyone who is panicking right now after this.
I appreciate you very yeah. much.
That is Spatulas and Speculations, anywhere you can yep. find a podcast.
Yes.
Wonderful. Rosie, anything?
I have a Fable group where I'm doing a big reread of SJM. So I'm doing all of the books in January. So you can come hang out and just like read the discussions. There's some good chats going on, or join in with me. And I'll also at the end of every series on my TikTok, A Court of Thorns and Rosie, I'm probably going to do my first ever like 10-minute videos, just wrap up of each series, which is just like talking through each series,
yeah,
as like a real quick, like something to put on while you're doing the dishes if you don't have time yeah. to reread before HoFast. Like,
I would love that to do my skin time night routine.
Yeah. Yes, I've had that comment several times. Like, I put you on while I do my skincare.
Yeah.
I love.
And that's the thing. Like, the videos end up being too short, and I'm like, I have a longer routine than this. Yeah. Do you think I'm this glowy naturally? No, that's.
So it's going to be hard.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it'll be fun.
That's so cool.
And we can find all of that on TikTok, A Court of Thorns and Rosie.
And then there's a link there with a link in bio with everything else I'm doing.
Great. Thank you. I've been calling you in my mind our flowers because, you know, you're Lily and Rosie.
Lily and Rosie.
So.
Oh my goodness.
This is our flower episode.
Yeah. Like, you guys are like, you know, our, you know, SJM flowers. And you guys both, thank you so much for coming on. Lily, thank you for coming back. And Rosie, thank you for creeping into your like DMs being like, hey.
Yeah. I don't know how early it is in the morning for you, but thank you for being here.
Oh, no worries. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. And, you know, if anyone wants to watch this, it's going to be on our Patreon. And, you know, you can admire both of these lovely ladies. Like, Rosie's just been like the cover of like a, like just cover of a magazine this entire time. Like, your hair is like luscious and long. And I'm like, holy
she
crap.
She is actually Faye.
I believe it at I this point.
It. I believe it.
And then you can see me in my little snuggy sweater blanket thing.
It's making me want to go get mine because I love mine has bacon and eggs on it.
I love it. Thank you for having me, bringing me back.
I love it. We'll definitely, we'll be asking to have you both on again soon.
Whenever
and we'll all be freaking out collectively very soon.
I can't wait.
Thank you guys so much. And we'll see your TikToks and you very soon. Yeah, bye.
See you on the other
Thank
side
you and goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.
Good guys. Luck.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to this mini episode of Book Talk for Book Talk. We encourage you to rate and subscribe to our show on your preferred podcast listening platform.
We would love to hear your thoughts based on today's conversation. You can submit your comments to our form at booktalkforbooktalk.com or via our Camflare voicemail system. Please visit booktalkforbooktalk.com for more information.
You can also follow us on TikTok or Instagram at the handle booktalkforbooktalk. Bye!